So what I really felt like God has been speaking to me, you know, Pastor Steve has been talking about choosing sides. And so, of course, if you were not here Sunday and heard his sermon on choosing sides with your words, you should go back and listen to that. We were talking before service, and Amanda said, I need to be a mime. And I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you, because we don't want to talk anymore, because your words determine what side you're on. But as I've been kind of meditating on some things, I just keep feeling like, you know, we all have a calling. We're all called. It's something that, you know, our pastors tell you, you're called. God has a plan for your life. You're not an accident. But is it really mine? Is it really my calling? It's not. It's God's calling. God is calling us. So I'm calling this, is it really mine? We know that each one of us is called. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved you as my chosen instrument. You know, this is the Amplified. And before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He's got a plan. He's got a call. There is not one person in here that does not have a call on their life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what color your hair is. I don't care what gender you are. You have a call. You have something God wants you to do with your life. But it is not your calling. It is God's calling on your life. He has a plan for you. It's only a purpose you can fulfill with the giftings that you've been given. We've all been given different gifts. You know, our pastors have been talking a lot, it seems like, in prayer and in times of exhortation, of us being a part of this body and being a member of a body. And, you know, Pastor Kim, I think, was exhorting, I don't know, last week or something, about, you know, if you have a body part out of whack, it kind of messes with your whole body. And as somebody that has had thumb surgery now 3 times, man, that little tiny tip of my thumb, it can wreck your whole body. You know, I did not shower by myself for like 5 weeks because I couldn't wash my hair and I couldn't put soap on the loofah because I couldn't squeeze things. It wrecked my whole rest of everything else. One little tiny thumb tip. And it's so true. We have been brought together. We've been brought together to be a part of this body of Christ, but we've been brought together for a purpose, and we've been brought together for a calling. And you do have giftings and calling. You do have something that you bring to this body that I can't bring. And I can't be the only member. I've got to have other body parts. Like this whole minus tip of a thumb thing, trust me, it's not fun. It's a bummer. And you realize when you deal with something like that, how important each part of your body really is and how much one thing out of whack just messes it all up. But you do have to choose to be on God's side of your calling, because if you're not on his side of his calling, you're going to miss out all he has for you, and it will affect those around you, your family and your children and your grandchildren. So what we're missing when we start talking about our callings is that it isn't our calling. We are called to the very same calling of Jesus. Jesus's calling, what was it about? It was about people. It was about the body of Christ. His calling is our calling. It's not Emma's calling. It's not my calling. It's God's calling. He's called us. So Ephesians 1:17-18, you know, we've been praying these Ephesian prayers. And if you don't have one of those cards, get one, because they're powerful prayers. And we read it, and sometimes we don't really take in context of the word. So this is in the modern English version. It says, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Interesting, right? It doesn't say the hope of your calling. It's not your calling, it's his calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints? And then again in Hebrews 3, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all of his house. It's not ours. And the sooner we realize it's not my calling, the sooner we can get on God's side of our calling. Because when it's Emma's calling, it's mine, and I want to do things for it, and I want to make things happen, and I want this, and this is how I envision this. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to his calling. So we need to be saying, okay, God, I understand you've given me gifts, you've given me a purpose, but give me your eyes to see what the next thing is. Give me your eyes to know what it is you want me to do. Because usually what we want it to be and what God wants it to be, they can be very different things, right? The Bible says our thoughts are not God's thoughts, his ways are not our ways. Because we live in a natural world and we're kind of swayed by some natural things. And so if we don't stop and say, okay, God, it's not mine, it's yours, then we take out this whole part of it being about people, about the kingdom. I mean, Pastor Steve has been talking about it being about the kingdom and being on God's side of things. Why? Because it's about people. It's about saving people. It's about touching people. It's about showing Jesus to people. But when we're so wrapped up into this is mine and it's my ministry and God gave me this amazing gift of whatever it is, we're mine. And then we forget it's people. Realizing that it is God's calling that we are called to, that equips us to fulfill what he has called for us to do. It also removes the stress and burden of us making it happen or the need to compare where others are or what they have or what they accomplish. And it returns our focus onto God and his kingdom. And only there can our position, only there, wow, that was a case of Emma can't type. Only there is it from our position for us to fulfill the call on our lives. Because we're people. And if you hear Pastor Kim sing, it's so easy to say, man, her gifting and her calling of voice is something that I so want. And then when we don't sing like her, we're like, man, God can't use me because I don't sing like her. And you know what? That's the devil. Comparison is the devil's playground. It is. And so if we're not looking at, okay, God, this is your calling. You've told me to do this. You have a plan for me. And we stop looking at this is my thing and this is what I want. Then you it's hard to stop comparing against other people, what other people's gifts are, what other people's ministries are, what other people are called to. And especially, you know, when I got into helps, that's not the most glamorous thing. I mean, it might be above cleaning toilets, but even when you're cleaning toilets, if you're called to clean toilets, you clean toilets because that's what you're called to do. And you do it with the excellence as unto you're doing it to the Lord, right? Well, it's the same thing with us. Whatever it is you're called to do, whatever part of the body it is you're called to be that part, it enables the rest of the body to function. And when we're not doing our part, guess what? You're that little thumb tip that is now hindering everybody's life. And it is true. I'm not saying you don't have a calling. I'm saying that you are called to the same calling as Jesus. And Luke 4:18, Jesus stands up in the middle of the synagogue and he declares what his calling was. And we all know the verse. We've heard it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Never once did Jesus say, I came so that you can worship me and give me the glory and honor that you want because I'm Jesus and I'm God. No, he said, I'm here to help people. I'm here to help the poor. I'm here to help the brokenhearted. I'm here to set the captives free. It wasn't about him. It was about us. It was about people. It was about furthering the kingdom of his Father. And if that's what Jesus was about, Jesus very easily could have said, guys, I'm Jesus. Hello. Have you not read any of the prophecies? This whole thing is about me. But he didn't. He said, this whole thing is about them. This whole thing is about you guys. This whole thing is about restoring man to God, the relationship with man to God. So Luke was kind of interesting. I was reading through it, and you know, so in Luke 31, Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with water, and then, you know, the heavens opened and a dove ascended down, and then they heard the voice, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now Jesus has been filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the enablement of his earthly ministry to go into full force. But what does he do? Instead of going somewhere, he goes out into the wilderness for 40 days, right? And he seeks God. He is God, and yet he's now been given the Holy Spirit to fulfill what God has called him to do, and yet he takes time and he goes to seek God. Because he didn't know what was going to happen? No, because it's necessary. Because we need to be seeking God to know exactly what the next step is. To not assume we know what it is. To get right there in the face of the Father. So he's out in the wilderness 40 days. It says he was hungry. And then what happens? The devil comes to tempt him. Isn't this? I think it's interesting. So at the end of the time, he's fired up. Jesus is fired up. He's ready to fulfill the call that God has called him to do. He knows it's headed to the cross because he's God, right? And yet he's ready to go. And here comes the devil to tempt him. So what does he tempt him with? He tempts him with the natural world. This is so interesting to me. Out of all the things, the first thing the devil tempts him with is food, bread, right? Because, well, Jesus is hungry. And he thought, okay, well, he's hungry. I can get him there. That's easy. We'll tempt him with some bread. And then he tempts him with authority and dominion. Something that Jesus, as a part of the Godhead, he already has authority and dominion. But yet here the devil is the Lord of the world, right? He's the Lord of the earth right now. And he shows him the kingdoms of the world and says, all of this could be yours. Right? He's tempting him with natural things. And then he tempts him with an opportunity to prove who he was. Well, if you're really Jesus, you'll throw yourself off this building and have an angel catch you, right? And Jesus could have said, well, I'm Jesus, and it'll show everybody who I am and that God has called me to do all these things. And so I'm going to jump off, the angels will save me, and then everyone will know I'm Jesus. But what did he do? He said, you will not tempt me. And he tells the devil, he rebukes him with the word, and the devil, of course, flees him. But Jesus had this opportunity to be tempted by these natural things that sometimes we ourselves get drawn away with. We want to be known. We want people to know our name. We want people to see how pretty we look, or we want to know how many Facebook likes we have, or we want to know that people have reshared whatever junk it was that we shared on Facebook, or whatever it is. It's natural things that the devil comes, and they look good sometimes, right? The devil isn't different today. He's not going to change up his strategy because he can't. He's not a creator. He's an imitator, right? So he can't make any new strategies. He just gets to play in his old strategies. And so he tempts us with things that look good, or even by setting you up in a situation where you can use your calling, okay? He might show you things in the physical world that you are hungry for, like he did with Jesus. Maybe it's a relationship, or a job, or a promotion, or the stroke of acceptance by people, or the likes and reshares of Facebook, or the fulfilling of your calling in your ministry. The devil uses these situations. And if we're not sold out to God saying, God, it's your calling, it's your ministry, tell me what you want me to do, what's the next thing you want me to do for your kingdom, we can get drawn away. Because they look like good things. Like, why wouldn't you want your calling to go forward? Why wouldn't you want a relationship that you've been praying for? Or why wouldn't you want this new job? Guess what? Jobs take you out of church sometimes. And you have to be willing to say, my job's not going to take me out of church. Because I had an employer tell me one time, well, who pays your bills? God or us? And I said, you will have a lawsuit if we go there. Because this job is not worth what God has called me to do. God has called me to be in this place. God has called my family to be in this place, to serve, to do the things that we do. And until he tells us otherwise, that's going to be where we're going to be. But there's always an opportunity for the devil to come in and say, but you used to drive an hour and a half away, which, thank you, Jesus, we're like 20 minutes away now. It's glorious. But how many times at an hour and a half away can the devil come in and say, do you really need to go to church tonight? Aren't you tired? You worked all day. Goats are, you know, doing whatever they're doing. There's lots of opportunities. So we need to be mindful because not every setup is a God setup. And not every opportunity is a God opportunity. And it's us being surrendered to the will of God, being surrendered to his call, that we really can test those spirits of, okay, God, is this you? Is this what you want for me? Is this what the next step is? Because first and foremost, you're called to be a part of a body. So in Luke 4, that's where we are. So in Luke 4, every section that it talks about Jesus begins in the synagogue. Isn't that weird? I never noticed that before today. Every time it starts talking about Jesus, it says, and then he was in the synagogue, and then he was in the synagogue, and then he was in the synagogue preaching. And then before he had an earth, this is before he started his earthly ministry. This is before he called disciples. This is literally, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He got his anointing and his power to go forward. He was tempted by the devil, and then he got his hiney in church. That's where he was. He was in church. So first and foremost, we are called to be in church. We're called to be a part of a body because you're a member of a body and you do have strengths and giftings that enable this body to move and work and have its full being. You can live without the tip of your thumb, but man, it's hard. And it causes you to lose time or effort or ability when that thumb tip is missing, because I still can't quite pick stuff up all the time because I can't feel it. And so one little thing might have made me drop something and break it on the ground because I can't feel it. One little body part is missing. So get your eyes off what you think you're called to do and get them back on Jesus where they belong. Only then can you truly fulfill his calling on your life. So in the book of Luke, it declares Jesus's birth. And then the next thing is him being left behind by his family. Where did they find him? In the church, right? He's 12 years old, and he tells his mom, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? What 12-year-old goes to church and says, here I am, this is what I'm supposed to do, okay? Then he's baptized, we talked about it. Then he's ministering in the synagogues. And then you start to see him call his disciples that would change the world. And then the accounts of his ministry happen. There's a progression here. It's not just Jesus showed up and then my ministry started. No, Jesus had a whole bunch of things to do first. We've got a bunch of things to do. You may be called to minister. You may be called to go out and go to Africa or whatever it is. But there's a progression there. And it always, always, always starts with being rooted in the body of Christ, being where God has placed you to be. If you're not here, you can't be equipped. And if you can't be equipped, you can't go. And if you're trying to go without being equipped, you're going to fail. There's that. So what was Jesus doing his entire earthly ministry? He was building the church, equipping the people that would build a global body of Christ. 1 John 2, 5 through 6, this is the modern English version. But whoever keeps his word truly has the love of God in him. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he remains in him ought to walk as he walked. So if Jesus' entire earthly ministry was about people and building the church, what is ours? What are we supposed to be doing here, guys? Are we supposed to be, you know, buying the big house, buying the fancy cars? Not that God doesn't want us to have those things, because you know what? God is a good father. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have all that we need. It says, I've never seen this righteous forsaken or begging for bread, right? He wants us to be prosperous, but he doesn't want that to become our calling. You're not called to make enough money to buy a new house. You're not called to make enough money to buy a new goat. You're not called to do whatever it is. You're not called to seek after other ministries and drive all over the country, but then you can't get your hiney to church. Like, these are areas that we can so easily fall into, and it looks good and it sounds good. Well, God, of course, wants us to live in a house. Yeah, he does. But he also wants your heart, and his heart for your heart is to be wrapped up in him, It's not the stuff that the devil tries to tell us. Well, you've got to have this and you got to have that and you got to do this. And we do have to do some of those things. We have to make money. We have to have jobs. We have to live in a house. We have to have vehicles. Totally not saying that. If you tell people I said that, we're going to have some words because it's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that's not your calling. And it shouldn't be the thing that we're striving after for the most. We should be striving after the kingdom of God first and foremost, because in all those things it shall be added to you when we seek the kingdom first. And again, I told Pastor Kim this morning, I think I'm going to stay home because I'm offending myself. So just know I'm talking to myself also, and I'm talking to the choir, so I know none of this applies to any of y'all. But sometimes it's easy because to get wrapped up in I have a family and my kids need shoes and you know, we need a house with more rooms, or we need a bigger car because our car's wearing out, or, you know, we need this new job or whatever the situation is. It's so easy for us to get caught up seeking after those things that we forget we're supposed to seek first God and what he wants us to do, what we're called to do, what he is going to enable us to do. If God calls you to something, he's going to enable you to do it. If God tells you to do something, he's going to be your backer to do it. Whether it's if he tells you to give somebody 20 bucks and you really don't have 20 bucks, guess what? He's going to make a way for that. He's not going to tell you to do something and then be like, oh, you fell? Bummer. No, he's going to say, all right, you took the step of faith and here I am to back you right up. So walking as he walks builds the church, touches people, and puts the heavenly calling first and foremost above anything or anyone else. I heard God tell me this today, and again, my feet. My people are walking away from my ministry to find theirs. They are walking away from my calling to fulfill theirs. It's not ours, it's his. God will not use you in his calling until you take his calling seriously. There's an aspect of this, you know, we had somebody at my work, nice kid, but he was always late. Always late. And on the days he wasn't late, he called off sick. And on the days he actually did come to work on time, he left early and just did whatever else. But then every time you talk to him, he's talking about he wants to be a manager. He wants to be in leadership. He wants to do the next thing. And he kept saying, what do I got to do to be a leader? And we're like, come to work? Like, first and foremost, you got to be here. It's kind of weird. It's weird how this works, right? You can't show up for late to work every day and expect to be advanced or expect to be in a leadership position or expect to do anything other than be the stock boy, because you're not there. You're not being responsible. You're not being dependable. You're not being faithful with what you can be faithful in. And guess what, you guys? It's the same thing with this body. You cannot move forward, go higher, go deeper without doing the fundamentals first. The fundamentals first are you gotta be here. And let's not step on toes, but you got to be here on time. Because if not, you're missing something. This kid would miss the first whatever time of work, and it would cause everybody else to fall behind. Stuff would still happen, but would we get everything done we're supposed to do? No. Well, it's the same thing with us. If we're not here, we're not here on time, we're not here ready, we're not here ready to serve, ready to be the vessel that God has called us to be, ready to fulfill the calling that he has given us as his calling to do, something is lagging, something is missing. We might get stuff done, but man, if we all showed up here ready to go, we're here before Pastor Steve starts playing, we're ready, we're in our seats, we're not talking, we're not messing around. We're not going to the bathroom or getting a cup of coffee. We are ready for what God has us to do, and we are ready for the move of the Spirit. Can you imagine how much deeper we would go, how much further we would go, how much higher we would go? Because we came in and we're ready to go. We're not coming in and trying to get there. Like, when I don't get to work early enough, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom, and I got to get my keys, and I got to put on my vest. And by the time I'm done with all this, it's been like 15 or 20 minutes. So if I got there on time, and I still had all that prep work to do, I'm actually late to work, right? But if I get there early, and I'm ready to go, and I can get it, then when I'm ready to start, guess what? I'm ready to start. Ta-da! We can do it now. And this is just in the natural thing. So in the spirit realm, we need to be mindful of these things. And I'm not bringing condemnation, because like I said, I wasn't going to come to church tonight because I'm offending myself, stepping on my own toes, convicting my own heart. Because there's times when I've come in here and I'm working through some things in the natural realm. I'm a person, right? Y'all are people. I'm sure you have natural realm things. And we're causing some things to lag as we try to get ourselves ready. We have got to be so His calling minded that we are ready to go. We're here, we're on time, we're in our place, we're fitted with where we're supposed to be, and we are ready. They're not waiting on us to go, we're waiting on them. That's how it should be. You know what a relief that is in the spirit? Have you ever been in a service, of course not here because this never happens here, but have you ever been in a service where you're like, come on, like, let's go, people. Raise your hands or get on board or act like you're alive. Or you're singing songs about joy and people are standing here like this. You should stand on the stage someday, guys, because that sometimes happens. But yet, if you come in and you see the same people and you see the people raising their hands and you see them engaging into worship, all you're doing is furthering how far the Spirit can go. We want whatever the Spirit has for us. We want whatever it is God has for us. You know what? Because there are people that need Jesus. There are people that need a healing. There are people that need a touch from heaven. There are people that need hope and joy and peace and whatever else it is they come in here needing. And if we can't get over ourselves, we can't get over to help them. Which means we've got to be like, okay, I'm checking all my stuff at the door, not even at the foyer, like on the outside of the foyer. And once I come through those doors, I am ready to be what God has called me to be. I'm ready to be that member that enables the flow and the movement of God in this place. It's not a little thing. His calling is a huge thing, and your part in His calling is a huge part. You know, I tell this story in membership class, and I think I've told it many times before, but, you know, Melanie one day was like, can I pray over you? And you can't tell people no when they ask if they can pray for you, because that's just rude. And so I'm like, well, I don't think there's anything going on, but yeah, you can pray over me. And she prayed over me. And it was this amazing time of powerful prayer. And I'm like, well, that was really great, but I don't know what's wrong. Like, everything is fine. And it was the next day that I had something happen in my family. And those, what she imparted into me that day, I believe is what gave me the strength to walk through what we walked through that week. But guess what? She was here. And she was ready, being the vessel that God has told her to be. It wasn't a little thing. It was a big thing, because it impacted me, and it impacted my family, and it impacted people beyond my family, because she was here and ready to give. And that's how we all need to be. We cannot move into the higher things of God without getting these basics down. Basics: be here, be on time, be ready. Leave your stuff at the door. And again, I'm totally talking to myself. But we have got to get outside of ourselves. It's not our calling. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about His calling. It's about His people. It's about His church. It's about what He wants us to do in this time. So something I was, again, I was totally reading Luke. So, you know, when we think about Peter, we think that he denied Jesus three times, and he tried to walk on the water, and he sunk, and, you know, we think about things that we hear all the time. But, you know, in chapter 5, right before Jesus calls him, so Jesus hasn't called him yet. He's he's a fisherman, right? He had been out all night fishing. It said that he came back carrying nothing. He was empty-handed. He came back to shore empty-handed. So up walks Jesus, and he tells Peter to go out again, but to put his nets on the other side. And at this point, I'm sure we can realize Peter had been up all night. He's probably tired. He's probably frustrated because, again, he's a fisherman, so this is his livelihood. So not only is he tired and cranky, or at least I'd be tired and cranky, he also didn't bring any money in that day, right? And then thinking about pulling in nets all night long, I'm sure you're sore, your muscles are tired, your hands are tired, and you finally get to shore and you're just going to go to bed disappointed or whatever you're going to do, and Jesus tells him to go back out and throw your nets again. So what does Peter say? And this is Luke 5:5. This is the Amplified. And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again." So Peter the fisherman let go of what he thought, what his traditions were, what he knew, what his experience was, to be obedient to the son of a carpenter. He wasn't a fisherman. What did he know? Peter had been fishing his whole life. He'd been doing this, making money. That's how he earned his living. And yet up walks Jesus and tells him to just try one more time. And what does Peter do? "At your word, I will do it again." And so he did. He laid it all on the line. He surrendered to the will of Jesus. And in doing so, in verse 6, it tells us that the harvest was so great that their nets tore open. It couldn't contain the harvest of obedience. That's all he had to do was obey. He could have easily said, "Jesus, you are not a fisherman. You are a carpenter. You play with wood. You don't play with fish. I'm tired. I'm cranky. I'm hungry. I didn't make any money today. I'm going to bed." And you know what? He would have missed out. We can sometimes come in here and say, "I'm tired. I'm cranky. I'm worn out." And we're going to miss out on our harvest. We have some things that we can lay down in surrender to the call of God on our life. We can lay down our calling and pick up His. We can lay down our thoughts and pick up His. We can slough off the things that have held us back, whether jobs or relationships or whatever it is, and seek Him first with passion and fervency. It's interesting. So 2 weeks ago, Debbie gave that word about autopilot, about it being time to come off autopilot. And I'm going to be honest. I hadn't really remembered what she said. Pastor Kim had talked about printing it out and having it available, and I really couldn't remember what she'd said. I remembered it being good, and I remembered receiving it when she said it, but that was like the last I had thought about it. So I'm just being honest with you guys. But then in prayer last week, we were praying, and I felt like God said, "It is time to come off cruise control and get into four-wheel drive." And it wasn't until we went back and looked at the Debbie thing that she gave about coming off autopilot. God is telling us something, you guys, that we cannot remain asleep at the wheel. You know, when you're on cruise control, your mind can kind of wander and you can just kind of zone out. And then before you know it, you've gone 20 miles. But now's not that time. There was a time in that freeze, I don't even remember, was it a couple years ago? And it was a church morning, and we live an hour and a half away, and everything's frozen. And I'm telling Daniel, "I don't think we can get to church." And he's like, "We've got four-wheel drive." And I'm like, "Oh." So this is why Emma doesn't drive, because it was terrifying. But Daniel drove the entire way in four-wheel drive because there was a necessity to stay grounded. There was a necessity to remain in control. There was a necessity that required him not to slip and slide. We had to be in four-wheel drive. He couldn't set the cruise control in the ice storm. And you know what? There are storms. There are storms in our life. There's storms in this world. Why does life seem like it's so hard? because the devil doesn't want it to be easy. If it's easy, we're going to remember that, oh yeah, we can do all this for God because we don't have any physical worries. We live in a perfect world. Our husband is perfect. We never fight. My children are perfect and they always obey. And I can just live over here, la, 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 doing the will of God. The devil doesn't want that. Why would he? So he brings stuff in and he brings in situations and trials and storms in our life. Why? To distract us from what we're supposed to do. But if we're in four-wheel drive, if we're not on cruise control, if we're not on autopilot, we can take that storm and we can push right through it. We can go over the ice, we can go over the snow, we can go to the next place we're supposed to go. It's time. It's time to be all about his calling. It's time to get off cruise control or autopilot, stop punching the Sunday and Wednesday time clock of church, and let go of your thoughts, ways, traditions, and experiences, and just say, okay, Lord, at your word, I will obey. That's what Peter said. Okay, Lord, at your word, I will obey. I will start fulfilling your calling by being where you've called me to be in the body you've called me to. You cannot fulfill what God has for your life on your own. You need a body. A lone sheep is a dead sheep. I tell this to people all the time. Sheep are not my favorite. You know they're not my favorite. It hurts my feelings sometimes when I think about how many times God calls me a sheep. But a lone sheep is a dead sheep. They can't protect themselves. They can't fend off the enemy. They can't even live without doing something wrong because they're sheep. But when the enemy comes, the sheep make these little sheep mosh pits and they twirl and go and kind of turn into each other and run into each other. And it's like this horrible chaos of sheep. And if you ever have gotten stuck in this middle of the chaos of sheep, they don't care if you're in their way or not. They will take you down and then they will dance on top of your body until they decide that they're done being sheep. It's awful. But there's protection among them because they're all a part of this horrible spinning bodies of sheep. And you don't want to be caught in the middle. And that's how they protect themselves. But the sheep over there by themselves has no protection. It's just, it falls prey to whatever comes to get it. And so if God's going to call us sheep, we need to stay in the flock because a lone sheep is a dead sheep. And you know the sheep that separate themselves are the sick ones. The ones that don't want to be a part of a flock have something wrong with them. There's something wrong in their body. There's something wrong in their head. There's something wrong somewhere, and they're going to die one way or the other. That's how they separate themselves. So when God is telling us to be a part of a body, but a voice comes in and says, you can watch church on your TV. A lone sheep is a dead sheep. And church on your TV is not going to mosh pit around you and save you. Not saying you can't ever miss anything and you can't watch stuff on TV or listen to stuff, because you can. Those are all great tools and resources. But that's not what God has called us to do. God didn't call you to your TV. He called you to be a part of a body where you can get in this horrible little sheep mosh pit to protect each other. Just don't run me over because it's not fun. But it's true. We need each other. And your calling is people. Your calling is to be a part of a body. Whether you like it or not, that is what you're called to. So you might as well just get on board and say, okay, Lord, I will obey. Because that's where your nets of harvest will overflow into abundance. And you know, when God gives us gifts and blessings, it's not just for us. It's always about other people. Our blessings always flow out to others. So if we're ready to say, okay, God, I will obey, it's the people next to you that are going to be blessed, the people next to you that are going to benefit. And it's amazing how it works that way, but it does. Like, the biggest blessing to me right this very moment is that our pastors are away on a trip that they didn't have to pay for, because they were a part of this body that blessed them so generously that it's a blessing to my heart personally. And I'm sure when you guys think about it, if you really grasp that, you guys sent them on a trip. That's amazing. blessing. What a blessing that is. What an honor it is to our pastors to be able to do those things. But your blessings, they're not just yours. Just like your calling is not just yours. Your blessings and your calling and everything that God does for you is about other people. He loves you so much that he wants you to touch the people next to you. So my declaration today, because like I said, I was challenged myself this morning, is I will, well, okay, so it comes from Psalms 119, 59 through 60. I read this. It says, I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commands. So my declaration today is I will make haste and I will not delay. I will reset my priorities to your calling, God, your business, your church, and your people. It's not about me. It's about you. And I love the word. I think, was it in prayer that Pastor Kim gave that word about how when we were doing the business of the kingdom, and it was in that that we were praying for other people, that your families and your needs were being met. Was that in prayer? And I thought about that because it actually made me cry when she said it, because I don't remember honestly what we were praying about. We were praying about other people and other things and other situations or whatever. And she said, I just felt like the Spirit say, when you were praying about these other people, he was meeting the needs in your family. And how precious that is. It's not about us. And yet when we step outside of us, that's where God enables the things in our family to be taken care of. And it's such a great gift that he does it. He works us that way, that we can be part of this glorious little sheep mosh pit. I might envision you guys as goats because, you know, the whole sheep thing. But we are sheep. Because we have a shepherd and we know his voice and we have a plan and a calling to be a part of. He's called us to be a part of this body, and only you can do your part. You know, in Esther, the part we remember about Esther is when Mordecai says that you've been brought to the palace for such a time as this. But if you go back and read Esther 4, it doesn't say that. It says, and who knows? Well, that version doesn't. It says, yet who knows? Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? Who knows if you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Why did he say it that way? Because you have a choice. You can either get in line and be the sheep and the part of the body that you're called to be and get in line with his calling on your life, or what did he tell her? Help and deliverance will rise up, but you and your house and your father's house will perish. So you have a gifting, you have a calling that only you can do for this body, for this time, for this hour. But if you don't do it, God will raise up someone else. And that doesn't mean that you're replaceable, because the other person doesn't have the gifts that you were called to do, but that means that God's kingdom will not fall to the side. It means you will have fallen to the side and he will use somebody else. So now is the time we need to be all for the calling, all for the kingdom. And I'm talking to myself too, because time is short and we need to be recalibrating our vision to, okay, God, it's your call. What's next?